Welcome to episode 240 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Thanks for being here today. In our reading today, Judges 13 and 14, we'll be introduced to a very famous Bible character. Let's begin. Judges chapter 13. The Israelites again did things that the Lord saw as evil, and he handed them over to the Philistines for 40 years. Now there was a certain man from Zorah, from the Danite clan, whose name was Manoah. His wife was unable to become pregnant and had not given birth to any children. The Lord's messenger appeared to the woman and said to her, "Even though you've been unable to become pregnant and haven't given birth, you are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. Now be careful not to drink wine or brandy or to eat anything that is ritually unclean, because you are pregnant and will give birth to a son. Don't allow a razor to shave his head, because the boy is going to be a Nazarite for God from birth. He'll be the one who begins Israel's rescue from the power of the Philistines." Then the woman went and told her husband, "A man of God came to me, and he looked like God's messenger, very scary. I didn't ask him where he was from, and he didn't tell me his name. He said to me, 'You are pregnant and will give birth to a son, so don't drink wine or brandy or eat anything that is ritually unclean, because the boy is going to be a Nazarite for God from birth until the day he dies.'" Manoah asked the Lord, "Please, my Lord," he said, "let the man of God whom you sent come back to us once more so he can teach us how we should treat the boy who is to be born." God listened to Manoah, and God's messenger came once more to the woman. She was sitting in the field, but her husband Manoah wasn't with her. So the woman hurriedly ran and informed her husband. She said to him, "The man who came to me the other day has just appeared to me." Manoah got up and followed his wife. He came to the man and said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" "I am," he replied. Manoah said, "Now, when your words come true, what should be the rules for the boy, and how should he act?" The Lord's messenger answered Manoah, "The woman should be careful to do everything that I told her. She must not consume anything that comes from the grapevine, drink wine or brandy, or eat anything that is ritually unclean. She must be careful to do everything that I've commanded her." Manoah said to the Lord's messenger, "Please let us persuade you to stay so we can prepare a young goat for you." But the Lord's messenger replied to Manoah, "If you persuaded me to stay, I wouldn't eat your food. If you prepare an entirely burnt offering, offer it to the Lord." Indeed, Manoah didn't know that he was the Lord's messenger. Manoah said to the Lord's messenger, "What's your name so that we may honor you when your words come true?" The Lord's messenger responded to him, "Why do you ask my name? You couldn't understand it." So Manoah took a young goat and a grain offering and offered them on a rock to the Lord. While Manoah and his wife were looking, an amazing thing happened. As the flame from the altar went up toward the sky, the Lord's messenger went up in the altar's flame. When Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell face down on the ground. The Lord's messenger didn't reappear to Manoah or his wife, and Manoah then realized that it had been God's messenger. Manoah said to his wife, "We are certainly going to die because we've seen God." But his wife replied to him, "If the Lord wanted to kill us, he wouldn't have accepted the entirely burnt offering and grain offering from our hands. He wouldn't have shown us all these things or told us all of this now." The woman gave birth to a son and named him Samson. The boy grew up and the Lord blessed him. The Lord's spirit began to move him when he was in Mahanah Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Judges chapter 14. Samson traveled down to Timnah. While he was in Timnah, a Philistine woman caught his eye. He went back home and told his father and mother, "A Philistine woman in Timnah caught my eye. Now get her for me as a wife." But his father and mother replied to him, "Is there no woman among your own relatives or among all our people that you have to get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" Yet Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, because she's the one I want." His father and mother didn't know that the Lord was behind this. He was looking for an opening with the Philistines because they were ruling over Israel at that time. Then Samson traveled down to Timnah with his father and mother. When he came to the vineyards in Timnah, suddenly a lone young lion came roaring to meet him. The Lord's spirit rushed over him, and he tore the young lion apart with his bare hands as one might tear apart a young goat. but he didn't tell his father or mother what he had done. Then he traveled down and talked with the woman. She was the one Samson wanted. After a while, he came back again to marry her. He turned aside to look at the lion's remains, and there was a swarm of bees with honey inside the lion's skeleton. He scooped up the honey into his hands, eating it as he continued along. When he got to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they ate it too. But he didn't tell them that he had scooped the honey from the lion's skeleton. His father traveled down to the woman, and Samson put on a feast there, as was the custom for young men. When the townspeople saw him, they selected 30 companions to be with him. Then Samson said to them, "Let me tell you a riddle. If you can figure it out and tell me the answer within the 7 days of the feast, I'll give you 30 linen robes and 30 sets of clothes. But if you can't tell me the answer, then it's you who have to give me 30 linen robes and 30 sets of clothes." So they replied to him, "Tell your riddle, let's hear it." He said to them, "Out of the eater there came something to eat. Out of the strong there came something sweet." For 3 days they couldn't tell the answer to the riddle. On the fourth day they said to Samson's wife, "Seduce your husband so he'll tell us the answer to the riddle, or else we'll set fire to you and your household. Were we invited here just to become poor?" So Samson's wife cried on his shoulder and said, "You hate me. You don't love me. You told a riddle to my people but didn't tell me the answer." He replied to her, "Look, I haven't even told the answer to my father and mother. Why should I tell it to you?" But she cried on his shoulder for the rest of the 7 days of the feast. Finally, on the seventh day, he told her the answer, for she had nagged him. And she told her people the answer to the riddle. So on the seventh day, before the sun set, the townspeople said to him, "What's sweeter than honey? What's stronger than a lion?" He replied to them, "If you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have figured out my riddle." Then the Lord's Spirit rushed over him, and he went down to Ashkelon. He killed 30 of their men, stripped them of their gear, and gave the sets of clothes to the ones who had told the answer to the riddle. In anger, he went back to his father's household, and Samson's wife married one of those who had been his companions. May God bless the reading of His Word. In my background study for today's remarks, I came upon something written by one of the greatest preachers of the last 200 years. His name was Charles Spurgeon, and if you're unfamiliar with him, I encourage you to do some research on him. Being from the early 1800s, his speech patterns and vocabulary are not very familiar to us today, but I very much like what he had to say about Judges 13. If you'll allow me to quote him for a couple of minutes, I think his thoughts are well worth hearing.
The first remark arising out of the story of Manoah and his wife is this, that oftentimes we pray for blessings which will make us tremble when we receive them. Manoah had asked that he might see an angel, and he saw him. In answer to his request, the Wonderful One condescended to reveal himself a second time, but the consequence was that the good man was filled with astonishment and dismay, and turning to his wife, he exclaimed, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." Brethren, do we always know what we're asking for when we pray? We are imploring an undoubted blessing, and yet if we knew the way in which such blessing must necessarily come, we should perhaps hesitate before we pressed our suit. You have been entreating very much for growth in holiness. Do you know, brother, that in almost every case that means increased affliction? For we do not make much progress in the divine life except when the Lord is pleased to try us in the furnace and purge us with many fires. Do you desire the mercy on that condition? Are you willing to take it as God pleases to send it, and to say, "Lord, if spiritual growth implies trial, if it signifies a long sickness of body, if it entails the loss of property, if it involves the taking away of my dearest friend, yet I make no reserve. Include in the prayer all that is needful to the good end. When I say, sanctify me wholly, spirit, soul, and body, I leave the process to thy discretion." Suppose you really knew all that it would bring upon you. Would you not pray, at any rate, with more solemn tones? I hope you would not hesitate, but, counting all the cost, would still desire to be delivered from sin. But, at any rate, you would put up your petition with deliberation, weighing every syllable, and then, when the answer came, you would not be so astonished at its peculiar form. Often and often, the blessing which we used so eagerly to implore is the occasion of the suffering which we deplore. We do not know God's methods. We set him ways which he does not choose to follow.
I agree with Spurgeon. I encourage you to ask for spiritual growth, but be aware that the process God uses often entails suffering. But it is worth it. Has this been your experience? Write to me and let me know. Steve@lifespringmedia.com, or post your comments on the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Look for episode number 240. I'd love to share your thoughts on the show. Write to me again at steve@lifespringmedia.com. I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb.